The Final Four has just been set, so that means we just had the best weekend in football? Let's discuss. This is the push-off! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Push Off Podcast, the weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last weekend, gets you ready for the next. I am your host, Scott Hogan. Sitting across the table from me is...
Dan Sitting Shiva Wright.
Dan, we just watched the divisional round, so we are down to now the championship week, AFC NFC for the rights to Super Bowl 53. This is where we're at now.
I could taste it, Scott.
Yep.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
You and me had, of our only 2 years of doing this podcast, have had some luck with each team in the playoffs little bit.
Yeah, you get one. Only get one.
Yeah, and then they kind of disappear, but who knows who'll be there next year.
I think the Cowboys, you know, we'll get into it later on.
But, okay.
You know, I think the Cowboys will be back.
All right, great.
I'm not sad, everybody. I'm not sad.
Ah,
so my life is fine.
If you signed in to hear Dan just fall apart on the mic, it doesn't sound like it's
going to
happen.
And it helped that the Eagles lost, too. I mean, you know, we're sitting there going, well, it's
silver
not all
linings.
Bad. Not all
silver
bad.
Silver Linings Playbook.
It was a good movie. Eagles. It was a good movie.
He's there.
It was. And now Bradley Cooper's a fucking Eagles fan. It's all right. Star is Born is overrated.
let's get into it, Dan. As last week, there's more coaching news.
Yeah.
When we stopped on our recording last time, it was right after Bruce Arians got the job in Tampa Bay. So we didn't get some of these others that have happened over the week.
We anticipated that Fangio would go.
Yep.
But we thought there would be a very different Kubiak situation.
And we kind of wanted this Freddie Kitchens as well. But let's start with Vic Fangio. Fangio. Hired by the Denver Broncos. We hinted at it. He was spending the day with Elway just this last week, and they decided they made it together, and now a defensive coordinator from the Bears going to be head coach for the Broncos.
And this just makes sense. I mean, Vic Fangio has been doing great work with the Bears for years.
Yeah.
This just so happened to be the most talented group that he's had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
hello, Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Make me look good.
He had Khalil Mack. He had a draft in Roquan Smith. Yeah. Leonard Floyd. He's had Leonard Floyd, and he's been teaching Leonard Floyd to be a really good pro.
Yeah.
He's got decent corners. He's got Fuller. All of a sudden, he's in Denver, and you go, oh, my God, I have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb on the edge. Holy shit.
I mean, that's what made it sense, to go defense.
Yeah, he might already be as talented as that Bears team. And Von Miller and Khalil Mack, I mean, I don't know. That's 1 and 1A to me in terms of defensive pass rush specialists.
I think you got Vic Fangio that's going to be making that good defense better. Are you worried about that offensive side of the ball for Denver?
I am, but I'd be worried about it.
Either way, right?
If 1993 Chan Gailey came riding in and said, no, I'm bringing 1992 Emmett with me. It doesn't matter. There's some problems there, really every position. Quarterback's an issue. Wide receiver's now an issue. You got Cortland Sutton, but aside from that, you have, I don't know, a bunch of old veterans and guys that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
You've got a decent running back stable, but your offensive line's in shambles. You need two or three starters there. This offense has got issues. You might as well start and build from strength and then see if you can add journeyman.
I think that's the hire. You build from strength. That's the idea from there. Is it Case Keenum's team another year or not? We'll have to see.
I think it is. I think you say, hey, Case, this is your team. By the way, we drafted your replacement. Or by the way, we signed a guy to compete with you. But hey, by all means, if you can win this job, win this job.
Okay. Vic's also bringing over some Bears coaches over to Denver now, like the running backs coach and the like. People that have been with Vic Fangio from the beginning kind of too. And when you become a head coach, as long as you get that ability to bring along coaches.
Bring your dudes.
Yeah, you bring your dudes. But sometimes front office goes, no, you're going to use our dudes. But doesn't look like that. Looks like Vic Fangio is getting his say there in Denver.
Yeah, the ex-husband got kicked out of the guest house there with Gary Kubiak.
Yeah.
Basically being told, no, I think our offensive philosophies are not in line.
Going another way is what they said. Yeah. So yeah. I guess Vic Fangio and whatever's going to be in the offense for Denver, it's going another way. That'll be interesting to watch.
We'll see. I mean, still, they're the third best team in that division.
I know. This season, they were.
You know, it's tough. I mean, I don't think necessarily the Raiders are going to have enough, even with what could be a great draft.
Yeah.
I don't think the Raiders are going to have enough to compete with them this year to be the third best team in that division. So, Vic Fangio, you have some time to rebuild this offense. You're going to have some higher draft picks. You're going to be lucky to go 7-9 next year.
It's a long off season. We'll see what happens, but he is the only head coach in that division getting replaced. So, yeah.
True.
That's the new thing. All right. Cleveland hired Freddie Kitchens. This is the guy who took over for offensive coordinator when Todd Haley got fired, when Hugh got fired, and that worked out for him. Did they not have a success? So Freddie Kitchens is now head coach.
One of the best things you can do is say, hey, I got a young quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, my young quarterback would like some consistency. Oh, well, shit. Then, yeah, you're hired.
That's what it is. Yeah.
That's how Freddie Kitchens won this job. Honestly, because they had done so well during this season, as soon as Kitchens took over as the offense coordinator, because Todd Haley was like, throw it 3 yards and then scream. It's like, fuck you, dude. Kitchens was like, no, let's try some weird shit. He's an old, good old boy. He was actually Alabama's fifth overall, like, best quarterback in history.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
He had a great stats, I remember, when he was QB there. But
it was crazy. So Freddie Kitchens is a good old boy that used to be, you know, big-time school quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He just got it done. And apparently he's a super fun dude, gets along with Baker Mayfield really well. You could not ask for a better resume than Baker likes me.
That's got to be it, right?
Yeah.
That was your interview, is Baker sitting there, and he's the one taking the interview across the table. He's like, are you going to let me throw the ball down the field?
Hell yeah.
All right, you're hired.
Hell yeah, you better.
And there it is, yep. So Freddie Kitchens in there. Greg Williams gets the walking papers. He will not be around. We'll get to the coordinator jobs that got hired on before that.
You
but
can't have Greg Williams around if you're Freddie Kitchens, too.
Like, I guess it's
no matter how good you get along with Greg Williams,
yeah,
if you're Freddie Kitchens, he can't be in the room. He can't. The personality's too big.
Yeah.
You know, to a degree, you need young, feisty, unproven guys. That's fine. And you need kind of like chill-ass old veteran coaches.
Is it a little weird that we watch the Browns in Hard Knocks coming into the season, and you watch most of that was all about their coaching staff and everything else, and now they're all gone?
Yep.
Brand new. I don't even remember seeing Freddie Kitchens on
I don't think
that
I
show.
Did.
I don't think he got on camera, but
no. So the one knock on Kitchens, and this is just a little health scouting report. In 2013, he had a surgery to repair an aortic dissection. Basically, it means in your aorta there's a tear.
Oh boy!
And a lot of times that's resulting from high blood pressure.
Yeah.
And things don't reduce your blood pressure when you become the NFL head coach.
You're
of
saying
the
that
Cleveland Browns.
That's a pretty.
I hear tell it's stressful.
One. Stressful. Yep.
And so because of this, I get a little bit worried about his health. He's not a healthy-looking man.
No.
Young Freddie Kitchens was handsome as shit. No. I saw some old college Kitchens. I was like, damn, you must have cleaned up, son. And he didn't get married until he was 26, so you know it lasted a good long time. Now Freddie Kitchens looks like a man who was born and raised in Alabama.
Okay.
And so he's made that full transition. He's
that
you know,
age has got
he's
up
in
with
the, his final form.
Okay.
So if Freddie Kitchens can keep his sort of offensive wizardry going, maybe his heart will last, but a couple of losses here and there, I get a little worried about his health.
I think we're excited to see the Browns on an uptick, and
true.
Why change things if they ended in a good spot at the end of the season?
Just
and
keep
what,
it going.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what they fill their team with here next season. And then finally, one more head coach so far that's set. The other ones are on the bubble here. Adam Gase to New York for the Jets. So he remains in the division and gets another head coaching job.
Yeah, I don't know if I like this.
No, we talked about like hinted at it last week, and you didn't think Adam Gase was getting a head coaching job. But
I didn't think he should.
Yes, of course.
He didn't do enough. I mean, he wasn't a complete fucking disaster in Miami. He went 23-25 before he got fired. 23-25. That's not terrible for your first head coaching game.
And thinking of how the QB situation was in Miami and the teams they play, they got to play New England 4 times in those 2 seasons. So
the problem is no one liked him.
Yeah.
And no one wanted to play for him. Now, the advantage is he's going to a Jets team that doesn't have a lot of veterans.
True.
He's going to be able to install his sort of weirdness because he's a weird fucking dude.
But I'm finding out.
He's going to be able to install his weirdness in a bunch of young players, and maybe having a guy like Sam Darnold, who seems pretty fucking bland. He seems like a pretty cookie-cutter sheet, ready to
milk
have some things
guy.
Installed. Yo, that dude is milquetoast as fuck. A little weirdo could help you.
Okay.
Could help you. So this might be a good fit for him. Jets are still rebuilding for at least another year. So Adam Gase, if anything, he's just going to, his whole job this year is don't have a open mutiny in the locker room and teach Sam Darnold how to be a quarterback.
It's been since like early years of Rex Ryan in New York for the Jets to have any type of excitement. Ever since then, we've been talking rebuild for this team. And I don't
Let's go get a fucking snack.
Yes, since let's go get a fucking snack. And I don't think Adam Gase moves that needle. I don't think he changes much here for the Jets.
I don't, but at this point, they've made a bunch of wholesale changes.
True.
Over the course of the year. This is a minor adjustment. When they fired Mike Tannenbaum and hired John Idzik, and then John Idzik and Rex Ryan didn't get along, and then Idzik tore the roster down, and Rex Ryan's coaching a bunch of corpses, and then they fire Idzik and Ryan.
Yeah.
And you go, well, what the fuck is the point of hiring John Idzik? Was it just to scrap your team? Like, you're not even going to give him a chance to rebuild? That's fine. So that's what they're doing. And then they had Todd Bowles, who is personalityless.
Yeah.
Adam Gase at least has a personality. It's weird, but it's a personality.
So does the weird personality beat out the no personality?
I think it
absolutely
does.
All right.
I think it absolutely does.
Okay. So that's what we're watching in New York. That means there's two teams left. Two teams left without a head coach. First one is in Miami, where Adam Gase came from. The rumor is, and that it is getting very close because I'm even hearing coordinators kind of getting connected there, is Brian Flores, who is the Patriots linebacker coach and defensive coordinator.
He's basically the defensive coordinator without the title.
Without the title, okay.
But he's been calling the defense all year.
All right. And as a Patriots defensive coordinator, Patriots have an okay defense, not one of the top ones. What do we think about giving their coordinator a head coaching job in Miami?
I'm a little worried because Flores doesn't have a ton of experience. Like, this was really his first season calling defensive plays.
Right.
People get really excited to milk that Belichick teat whenever they can. But Patricia didn't exactly light the world on fire in Detroit. There haven't been a bunch of Belichick dudes that have gone on to be super successful.
Didn't have success in Denver. And
he does not have the coaching tree that Parcells has.
He never has, no.
By the way, Freddie Kitchens is part of the Bill Parcells coaching tree.
Well, so is Brian Belichick.
Yeah.
Or Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick is. Freddie Kitchens is. Mike Zimmer was. Freddie Kitchens was the Dallas Cowboys tight ends coach in 2006.
Okay.
So he got Jason Witten to a Pro Bowl.
Okay.
There's a bunch of dudes that came from Parcells' tree. There's not a lot of roots coming up from that.
From Belichick, that's true.
It's just Nick Saban,
he's been
honestly.
There, yeah, and he's been head coaching since 2000, so
it's he's been
weird
up there a while.
That's kind of it, yeah. So, yeah, so maybe he gets the job there. Just talk to Jim Caldwell's head in there, too, now.
God, no.
You don't like the idea.
Jim Caldwell needs to be out of this league, dude. He needs to be out of this league or an offensive quality control coach because that dude is boring as shit.
Yeah, but
you
his
don't
name,
go from Gase to him.
I know. No, you're right. But his name has been floated too much that he will have a job somewhere. And why not Miami, where a lot of other people don't want to be?
I feel like he's the only guy in Miami who would like wear a long sleeve vest. Like, I know that doesn't make any sense.
No,
but
I don't
that
know
just
how
is
that's a vest.
That feels like Jim Caldwell wears a long sleeve vest.
Okay.
I don't know how you do it, but I'm like, oh God, he's in a vest again.
I can't picture it in my head.
Most people would call it a sweater. I don't. Jim Caldwell wears a long sleeve vest.
Okay. It's gonna be interesting for a Miami team like you said, where veterans on the team are like, I don't want to play for this guy. If you're gonna keep Gase around there, trade me. And they turn around and Brian Flores walks in the door. I wonder if they're gonna go, oh shoot. Lesser of two evils here, I guess, you know, and
Flores
move on.
Flores is young.
He's got to keep the locker room, I guess is what I'm saying, and that's the big test, I think, in Miami for him.
Any coach does. Brian Flores is a little bit lucky in that he's saying, hey, I'm coming from a winning tradition.
True.
And he's a bit more fiery
than
Adam Gase was. He's a bit less weird than Adam Gase is. Plus, Brian Flores is going to have carte blanche to be like, hey, Tannehill, get the fuck out of here. Hey, Rex, or what's your name? Brock Osweiler, get the fuck out of here.
True.
We're going to redo this thing. This defense, I'm going to work on. Offense, we're going to rebuild this thing. If he can bring in a couple good, strong offensive minds with him, I think this could be a really good move for Miami.
So you're saying not Jim Caldwell.
Not Jim Caldwell.
And the last head coaching job that's still vacant currently is Bengals head coach. Now, the rumor is Zach Taylor, the Rams' current offensive coordinator, will be heading there. And obviously, we're talking about two head coaches that are with other teams playing in the championship round. So that's why you're not seeing them sign the contract on the dotted line just yet.
Yeah.
But it's looking like it's going there because Hugh Jackson's gone. He's not staying in Cincinnati.
No, he's not.
So is it Zach Taylor, and what do you think of that?
I do think it is. The reason why I think it is Zach Taylor and I think it is Brian Flores is because you would have heard both of these guys get hired if they had lost this weekend.
Yes, I think so too.
You're going to hear their hiring become official, and it's going to be part of Super Bowl week. That's usually what happens. One of those teams, in whoever wins, and I hope the Patriots fucking lose. And God, I hope Zach Taylor loses as well. I hope the Rams fucking lose. I want Chiefs Saints so bad. But when that happens, they go, okay, I know you're going to the Super Bowl, but that's a couple weeks away. We need to solidify things. We're going to make the announcement, and the Super Bowl will be your last game as an offense coordinator, as a coach of this team. It happened to, what's his nuts? The kid out in 49ers, Shanahan.
So Shanahan,
they announced that, you know, basically as soon as they won the NFC Niners, Championship game, they said, you're going to be the Niners coach. You're going to go coach the Super Bowl, but fuck it.
Remember last year Gruden was heading to the Raiders and he didn't even finish Monday Night Football yet.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Awkward as hell. Okay, so those are the two open head coaching spots to look for. We might know this time next week, so tune into the push-off. We'll get you caught up. That's what we're here for.
I think we will.
And then let's get you caught up on the offensive coordinator spots. Kevin Stefanski staying with the Vikings. He'll come back there. He was getting head coaching job offers from Cleveland. I think it was very close, but when it went to Kitchens, he decided to come back to his job here in Minnesota.
That's fair. I would have liked to see Minnesota make a change, because I didn't think that their offense was... The change from Stefanski, or the change to Stefanski, was not as severe as the change from Haley to Kitchens.
I know what you're saying, yeah. We watched the first half of the Lions game against Minnesota week 16, and then week 17, the whole game against the Bears. That offense did not show up, and... Yeah. That's the scary thing. Now, Miami looked great, but that was against an awful running defense and a great day by Cook, and Cook's the new weapon there. So, but I want to see Stefanski get a whole offseason, put in his work with what works, and let's see what we can move on with. I like it better than maybe having a guy that's been in the building than going and get a brand new guy.
That's fair.
It might be kind of questionable, but they did bring in Gary Kubiak, as we hinted at, that he's out of Denver now. He's going to be an offensive assistant or somewhat of a expert to lean in on, but he's not going to be their offense coordinator. He's not going to be a coordinator coach at all, and I think he's going to put in small hours due to still having an illness.
And Kubiak's a smart dude. Having Gary Kubiak in the room helps you offensively.
His son's going to be QB coach there, too.
And that's fine.
Yep.
It's fine.
It's exactly what we had with Turner. When North Turner was there, his son was our QB coach.
But Turner was the offensive coordinator. He was the actual coordinator. So this is a little bit easier.
Stefanski, I don't know if he doesn't have a kid yet or he's not of age to be our QB coach. That's the only difference.
It's like my 9-year-old son. I think he and Kirk will really connect.
Buccaneers, as Bruce Arians there, they hired their new offensive coordinator. It is Brian Leftwich, the guy who...
Byron Leftwich.
I said Brian, didn't I? Yeah. Byron Leftwich, yes. The guy who took over in Arizona as offensive coordinator this year.
Byron Leftwich, more specifically, has been following Bruce Arians around for a long time.
That's why he was in Arizona, yeah.
He was in Arizona with Bruce Arians because he had been in, he had been on the Steelers with Bruce Arians. He was a backup there for a while Arians was the offensive coordinator. They had gotten along a real long time. I just hope that he's not going to have Jameis Winston retool his windup to the Byron Leftwich fucking lineup, which is the slowest release in the history of football.
Leftwich is like he was pulling something out of a bag.
God,
and
he really was.
Getting it out. Yeah.
He learned his windup from a magician. He's just like, ha-da!
You got the football.
The pass has been thrown. It's like, yeah, dude, we get it. No need for the flourish.
Leftwich was, yeah, that was a crazy thing to watch with him.
But he's good. I mean, he didn't have a lot of success there in Arizona, so I get a little bit worried, but... If he's under Arians' thumb a little bit, I think that might be helpful to him.
There's a little bit more weapons on Tampa's offense, too, than Arizona had last year, too. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Chuck Pagano goes to the Bears as their new defensive coordinator, filling in for the spot that Vic left.
Real smart. This is a real good decision because Chuck Pagano is an excellent defensive coordinator. Was not a real great head coach. Couldn't manage the whole thing. But he is a feisty dude when you just leave him alone to defenses. So this might be a real Wade Phillips thing for Chuck Pagano.
I agree with you completely. Chuck Pagano back to a coordinator position is where he needs to
be.
It's
a good fit.
Yes, and that's what works out. Vance Joseph, the old head coach of the Broncos, not without a job this year. He's going to be the Cardinals' defensive coordinator.
He's a smart dude. Vance Joseph was a good D coordinator, but just overmatched in Denver. Never really had the full support of management either. So it's going to be good. He's going to get another chance to be an NFL head coach in the next 5 or 6 years.
Is there a connection between Vance Joseph and Cliff Kingsbury? I don't know these guys very well.
No,
there
they're probably
just
chill-ass dudes.
Okay. One hired the other. And then Greg Williams is the Jets' defensive coordinator.
That's going to be interesting.
Because he stays with that. It goes with Adam Gase, yeah.
That's going to be a whole bunch of weirdos in that coaching room. So I'm intrigued.
All right, that's something to watch.
I want to see, I really, really want to see. I want to see a Hard Knocks New York Jets with Adam Gase and Greg Williams, because that would be fucking bizarre.
So there is rules to Hard Knocks, and I think first-year head coaches get a pass. You can't be...
But technically, Gase isn't a first-year head coach.
Well, first, I don't know if maybe that's what the rule is. And also, it means you can't be forced to take on Hard Knocks. You can ask for it. You can always ask for it.
I would ask for it.
Yeah, if you're the Jets.
Let's get fucking weird.
Let's get them in here. I think it helps, especially if your team isn't going to do much. I think it brings fan on. I think if you're somebody that doesn't have a full fan base and you get watching Hard Knocks, you're like, I like this weird Gase guy. He's got some big eyes. And then you're a Jets fan. That's all it takes.
He's a real bug-eyed lunatic.
Yeah.
Fine.
And that's all it takes. He's a Jets fan. All right, Browns coordinators. Todd Monken, Browns offensive coordinator. If you remember the name Todd Monken, we gave him credit when he blew up as the Buccaneers offensive coordinator, took over the position.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Buccaneers.
Todd Monken?
We don't remember Todd Monken. No, I do. We talked about him.
Monken. Yeah. Chuck and Monken.
Todd Monken. Yeah, Monken. Yeah. Yeah. He took over for offensive coordinator. Was it Tampa? No. Who was it that...
I think it was...
Somebody blew up with him.
I'll look it up.
He's going to check it for right now. He's going to be the Browns offensive coordinator for Freddie Kitchens. He got that offensive position spot because somebody else got relieved of their duties, and they gave him the play calling last year, and he turned it around for one game, so he gave him credit in a show, and I remembered the name for that reason, but now
I know who I'm thinking
Buccaneer.
Of.
It is Buccaneer.
I'm thinking of Steven Monken, the fucking...
Monken, but this is Todd Monken, M-O-N-K-E-N. I did write it down. He's previous Buccaneers offensive coordinator, so he was there.
Clearly we're excited and well-researched.
Steve Wilks, who was the Cardinals offensive coordinator, will be the Browns defensive coordinator. He was a head coach of
the
Cardinals.
Oh, he's the head coach, yeah.
Now he's going to be Browns defensive coordinator.
Good mind.
Mike Prever, who was the Vikings special teams coordinator, is gone, and he is now going to be the Browns special teams coordinator.
Sure. He's got a lot of anti-gay stuff in his history, too.
That's right. That was the one thing about Mike Prever, is that when Chris Cluey, our old punter from the early 2000s, left
really
the team.
Good.
He was very good. He was with us for a while. He had articles on Deadspin. He had a relationship with Deadspin, so he wrote articles, and one of them was all about how he got let go from the team because he called out Prefer and all his anti-gay slander that he would have.
Yeah.
They decided to keep Prefer, and they let the punter go. But now you see him as Prefer's kind of was the guy that we counted on to have good return guys in the back there and good return game. I think special teams has moved away from that, and
yeah.
It's on to, give me a guy who's a kicker whisperer. That's what I want in Minnesota. That's my next special teams coordinator. And then Ryan Lindsay. Do you remember Ryan Lindsay as QB? He's going to be the QB coach for the Browns.
Oh, shit. Really?
He came in those awful Cardinals years when they had nobody healthy. Carson Palmer blowed something out. Ryan Lindsay had to play.
Oh, that's right. He wanted to be in that third stringer that had to play.
I just saw his name there.
In the playoff game.
That's right. And I recognize him. He's going to be the QB coach for the Browns.
Oof. You know what? Those who cannot do, teach.
Yeah.
So go nuts, buddy.
Hopefully Baker listens to him. And then, Dan, I'm going to bring this up. I don't know if we have any tape watched on the guy yet, but Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner, is going to be in QB for Oklahoma. He's declaring for the draft.
Not a lot of tape. I know the measurables, and I'm dissatisfied.
Okay. You haven't been hot on the QBs yet.
I have not. This particular crop of QBs doesn't tickle my pickle. I'm way more into the defensive linemen, way more into the secondary. Greedy Williams is somebody that I'm very excited for.
Okay.
Ed Oliver, very excited for. But I'm not excited for any of these quarterbacks.
But we'll be looking at the tape in the summer month, or coming up here in the months.
Very soon. I've taken the weekend to mourn my loss. But Kyler Murray is very small. He's listed at 5'11". He's probably closer to 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, so that has been the talk about him, is like, name another starting QB that's that short.
Drew Brees.
And Drew Brees' list is like 6'1".
Drew Brees is 5'10". Drew Brees is about my height.
Right.
He looks real short as shit.
Baker's down there, right?
Baker's down there. So we are moving that way where you're like, a small guy might be able to stand up and do this thing, but I haven't watched enough of Kyler Murray. He sure does scramble a whole lot.
He was drafted to play for the Oakland A's, right?
He was. He was drafted in the first round.
So he was going to be on baseball, and then you realize you're going to make the money, though, in football.
If he gets drafted in the first or second round, he can make more money on a guaranteed rookie contract than he could on his Oakland A's contract and then his minor league contract.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea financially, and you – as long as your body can take it. You have the chance you might not get super hurt as a quarterback. If he was a wide receiver, I think it's a bad idea. Defensive lineman, bad idea. But as a quarterback, okay, I can see it.
Deion Sanders, who famously played both ways, said you need to pick up that baseball bat and don't look back, is what he told him. But Deion played cornerback, and Deion's career ended before he wanted it to. So I
Deion had to tackle a lot.
Yeah.
And Deion always hated tackling.
Deion made those
business decisions
when it came to tackling. That's right. All right, Dan, that's what I had for the news. Let's take a break. Let's take a break and come right back so we're fresh to talk about these games, good or bad, whatever may have happened in them.
Things happened.
But we got to get everyone that's listening ready for those championship games.
Get excited, everybody.
So stick around with us. We'll be right back after this. This is The Push-Off. I probably owe it to y'all, probably be locked by the force, trying to hustle some bangs, that go with the Porsche, feeling no remorse, feeling like my hand was forced, middle finger to the law, nigga, gripping my paw, said the ladies, they love me, from the bleachers, they screaming, all the ballers is bouncing, they like the way I be leaning, all the rappers be hating, hope the track. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking around, we are back here at The Push-Off to talk about the divisional round games and get you the matchups for the NFC and AFC championship. Since we're back, it's time for that 2 minute no offense, right, Dan?
Because no offense, but you're the San Francisco. Wait, where are you from? Oh, LA? Oh, you're the Chargers. Fuck you, you're the Chargers. You wasted a good chunk of my life.
The Chargers game should definitely be in there, but no, we only got four games to talk about. We're not going to put them in the 2 minute no offense.
It just might
not be talked about as much.
We really should. God, the Chargers got embarrassed.
But I want to start with the NFC. That lets us to start with the NFC matchup, which is played first this Sunday. Day is this Sunday. What is Sunday here in
Sunday, the January Sundays?
The 20th. Sunday the 20th, here coming up this week. That's when the championship games are played. All right, let's start with it. It happened Saturday night. Dan, Cowboys 22, Rams 30. I did pick this. Obviously, you were with your boys, but they didn't come out victorious in this one.
So the Rams did the thing that I hoped they wouldn't do. They ran on us all day. This defense is good. I don't want anybody watching this game to be like, what the fuck? The Cowboys got run over. Our one weakness has been, if you run on us and you tire us out, we're fucking toast.
Shoot.
We're toast.
I didn't notice that. I figured the way to attack the Cowboys go over those linebackers.
It's always been the run.
It's that run, huh?
It's always been the run. If you're able to run it at us and get 3 or 4 yards at a time, then it's over. We have a tendency, because our linebackers are so fast, to blow up run plays.
Yeah.
But if you can just run down the middle, because we have no zero. We have no nose. We have really, Antoine Woods is a pretty good one technique, but he's a one technique body who has three technique abilities.
Well, and let's say the difference in this and the thing that you had the least amount of tape on, CJ Anderson. And he was the guy running down the middle. You have Todd Gurley, who is the speed guy, get you on the corners, and that's where your linebackers are the best at, is beating them to those corners. But yeah, CJ Anderson.
And that's the difference, because I think we could have gotten to Todd Gurley on the edge, but because CJ Anderson was just a battering ram, it tired us out.
You had your thunder and lightning there in LA. Anderson had 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. Gurley still had 115 and one. That's too much for two players.
It was out of nowhere. This is a very different Rams offensive line than I saw. This Rams offensive line, even though they played all 16 games together, this Rams offensive line was mean and nasty and coming for us. And in fairness, DeMarcus Lawrence did say he was going to try to take Jared Goff's soul.
Is that a quote?
That's a quote. He said, I'm going to try to take Jared Goff's soul. I've already quoted DeMarcus Lawrence on this program once,
and
it was an awesome quote. DeMarcus Lawrence is a full-on psychopath, and I endorse it. So I'm fine with it. I know it was a little bulletin board material, but we were going to get beaten in this game anyway. This offensive line just wanted to send a message. God damn it, they really did.
Yeah, Yeah, they couldn't. Couldn't stop the run. Prescott played fine game. He didn't turn the ball over. There wasn't those mistakes that the Cowboys offense kind of had in the regular season to cost them games. Gallup came up big with you guys, had over 100 yards.
Looks great.
But they did shut down Zeke. There wasn't a run game on your guys' side, and there was a run game on their side. And then late in the game, Goff had the great choice with that keeper to pick up the first.
This was a game of body blows.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the Cowboys are the ones inflicting it, and we just couldn't do it. We couldn't get to that team. Ndamukong Suh was out of his mind in this game.
You're right. Suh had his best game as a Ram, and he hasn't shown that all season long, and he waited the right moment.
He was, like, saving it for the playoffs, which is understandable. He spent all those years in Detroit and Miami, never sniffed the goddamn playoffs.
That's right.
All of a sudden, he's here, and he's a goddamn beast. Ndamukong Suh was amazing. Aaron Donald, obviously, was a force to be reckoned with. We could not get the run going to save our life. We were not blown out in this game.
No.
This is a respectable showing by a still young Dallas Cowboys team that if Gallup emerges, if Cooper maintains his excellence, if Zeke maintains his excellence, we get Travis Frederick back next year. This offense will improve just by time.
Two very young teams and two teams that just have had the experience in the playoffs that I leaned on so much last week. Recently, and the Rams was last year, the Cowboys was 2 years before that, but now you're noticing how much better these teams look. The Rams, from the game they lost to Atlanta last year at home to this one, night and day as to how much better they
look. They came out sharp, fast, and ready to go, and the Cowboys were ready too. We just weren't a more talented team. Our defensive line is just not there. We still need help there.
I saw Marcus Peters getting into Cooper's head a little bit, a lot of pushing back and forth, some fighting going on. And I think when the play ends and you see the wide receiver still at the cornerback, that means that cornerback's kind of getting in his head.
A little bit, but I did like Amari Cooper at the end of the game. Game is over, and he went and he fucked with Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see, because Amari Cooper is a low-key psycho like Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want a low-key psychopath at the outside position.
To me, that meant it got to him. It got to him too much.
Yeah, but I feel like Amari Cooper is going to be like hanging out in his porch swing.
Yeah. Ain't done now.
Like, he's gonna be like hanging out at Marcus Peters' house. Like, he's gonna fuck Marcus Peters' wife. I'm just telling you that right now. He's gonna go through Marcus Peters' whole black book. He's gonna go through and run through everybody just to send a message.
I think
Amari is not here for play.
And I think Peters has had a great recession year after leaving Kansas City here for the Rams. He didn't nearly have as good of a year. But he's going on to the NFC Championship game, so
he is. Aqib Talib was a difference maker. We were able to come back with Aqib Talib out of the game,
right?
So Marcus Peters is not their shutdown. We just couldn't really get the ball to Cooper the way we wanted to. So credit to him where credit is due. I fucking hate Jared Goff.
Before we go on, we got to talk about the Cowboys moving forward, because this is your team. It looks like the coaching staff is going to remain. So you've got your head coach,
Jason Garrett.
Thank you, Jason Garrett there. Offensive coordinator, even Scott Linehan, is supposed to be coming back, too.
I'm not excited about Linehan staying.
I know you're not.
I'm not. I'm very excited about Chris Richard.
Okay.
Chris Richard staying.
Defense coordinator,
There's no reason for him to move on. He's the defensive coordinator. Marinelli's probably going to retire or maybe move and transition back into D-line coach, which he should be. I think we're going to keep Chris. I don't love the fact that we kept Scott, but another year of consistency is what I'm telling myself.
Yeah.
Another year in the system for Dak to find the nuances. My hope is that because he's been in Linehan's system so long, Dak is going to start audibling way more.
Is that what this is? This is a team set. They're just too young, and they're going to learn to make that run for the Super Bowl next year, or do they need to make changes in certain positions?
We don't need to make a bunch of changes.
Okay.
We need help in the run stop, because we don't have a zero, we don't have a one.
Need a big body in the middle.
We need a big boy just to be able to rotate him in. I'm not saying we got to get like a Haloti Ngata. That's not going to be available to us in the second round. I'm not saying we got to go out and sign a guy. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying you can get a big-bodied run stopper in the second round, somewhere in the late second round, and he's a high-value guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we need. We need a guy that when someone is just running it down our throats can take a double team block, and we just don't have that. We got one-on-one guys that need ISO and get pressure.
Yeah.
That's great, but when these Rams come out and do this to us, we have no fallback plan.
Okay. All right, well, we will talk about the Rams because the Rams season is still alive, but let's talk about who they'll be playing next week as the Saints win Sunday night. This was Sunday afternoon over the Eagles, 14-20. Eagles jumped up to a 14-0 lead, and then that's all they did.
Saints 20 win. Unanswered points by the Saints.
That's how it
ended. 14 unanswered by the Eagles. this was really a tale of two halves.
Yeah. Or a quarter and a couple minutes into the second quarter. And then
yeah, sorry. This was the whole game hinged on the third quarter.
Yeah.
After that Marcus Lattimore pick, which was great. Which was great.
Which one?
The first one.
Because
the one
that ended it was the one that ended
As the Eagles were driving in the second quarter, and they had a 14-point lead, Lattimore picks that ball off from Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz tried, but Lattimore had great position. That was the spark that this team needed, because they are the better team. They are a more talented team, but the Eagles had come out, punched him in the mouth, and had started leveraging them. It's like sumo a little bit.
Well, you have Drew Brees, who barely turned over the ball at all, and in the very first pass, picked off, and then immediately, touchdown Eagles. He was like, what?
And the worst part was, that was an underthrown ball. He actually had him.
Yeah.
He read that correctly. He just underthrew the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Oh, you're right. He got him beat. Yeah. So, yeah, the Eagles jumped up. They're doing quite well. Sheldon Rankins goes down. He's not coming back.
You get worried.
All of a sudden, it was like, oh, my God, can the Eagles keep this magic going? And for a second there, I believed it. I believed they could for a second. But you're right. Everything turned around. Oh, this guy named Mike Thomas just doesn't drop a pass and is so always good. Wide open.
Michael Thomas is so good.
And that's what it was. Foles just one touchdown, but those two picks, it all went to Lattimore. Brees with just over 300 yards, two touchdowns, his one pick to start the game. And then, yeah, Thomas with 171 yards and a touchdown.
He went bananas.
Was this Saints win because Sean Payton rolled in $225,000 in that Super Bowl trophy and goes, you want it? Go get it.
No, this win was because Sean Payton rolled into that locker room at halftime and said, I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
I think the next time we have the ball, we can fuck them up for good. And he did. They went out, and what was that drive, 12 minutes?
And it was like 117 total yards because they kept getting penalties that they would overcome. That was the nuts of that drive, is that one step back equal two steps forward, just like that Paul Abdul song?
Yep.
Something like that.
Yeah. Opposites attract.
There it is. So that's what the Saints did, and they took the whole third quarter with them, put a touchdown on the board. And by then it was 17-14.
Yep. They had taken a 3-point lead.
Took the lead.
With that.
It was still 3 points. And then they settled for a long field goal that they made, and it was still just 6 points. It's like, Eagles, this game is still right there.
But you could feel the Eagles' defense soul leave their body after that long drive. 12 minutes on the field for a defensive lineman, for a defensive player, is an interminable amount of time.
Yeah.
There is no recovery from that. And especially because you just got back from halftime. And then all of a sudden you're on the field for 12 minutes. There was nothing to be done.
Yep.
If the Saints had wanted to, really, really wanted to, they probably could have converted that fourth down instead of going for that field goal.
Yeah.
Now the field goal would have given them a 9-point lead, you know, salts away the game. That was a real tough kick to be made. Didn't make it. Eagles had a chance. And big time players make big time plays. Alshon Jeffrey is a big time player.
I know.
He is a big time player. He does make big time plays. But he fucked up.
You heard a rumor that he was playing with bruised ribs, something like that.
He was hurt.
And I get that, yeah. But
he's always
ball,
hurt.
Ball goes through his hands, and you got to catch that. And he knows it. And he was very classy after the game, saying, like, that was on me. I should have had that catch. And as soon as it does go through, it's in Lattimore's hands, and that's the game.
There's no guarantee they win that game, but that guaranteed they lost it.
Yeah.
You feel for a guy like Alshon Jeffrey, who apparently is a pretty decent dude. He's a soft-spoken guy. Doesn't cause a lot of problems. Injured a lot, but he's got the physical abilities to be a top five wide receiver in the league. You feel for that guy. But Lattimore is also already a top five corner.
So,
he's just around the ball, great ball hawk, great skills. Big time players, baby. Big time players.
Brandon Brooks tore his Achilles in this game. He will not be ready for the start of next season for the Eagles. So that's something.
That's huge.
Yeah. That's going to be something to watch. And then Brandon Graham is already saying he wants to test free agency, so he's leaving the Eagles.
Which is smart.
Sure. For him right at this position right now. Definitely
get that money. Brandon Graham's still undersized. His career probably won't last too much longer.
But get that payday. Big transition guy in their defensive line that's all about different guys and enough gas left in the tank because they haven't been out there all game getting pass rush. I know they've got other guys, but Brandon Graham's not being there. That's one guy missing. Is this Eagles team faltering from their Super Bowl champions that they were 2 years ago now?
I think so, but they were already doing that anyway.
True.
You know, this team is not as good as it was last year. Right. Carson Wentz is going to be the absolute leader of this team when Foles moves on.
Yeah. Now they get the coach gave them that too. Obviously, them losing this one makes the choice easier. If he snuck by and won and was heading to L.A. play those Rams this week, are we thinking maybe Foles gonna keep that jet? Like, is there any chance of that?
If I'm Doug Peterson, you know what I'm saying? I don't answer hypothetical questions.
Perfect. Yeah, you got the offseason to talk all about
but
that.
I'm not Doug Peterson, so I honestly feel like they probably would have shopped them both and see what kind of offer you could get. You know, Nick Foles, obviously, if they had said to him, hey, you'll be the starter if you re-sign this thing, we're going to shop Carson.
Yeah.
I feel like he probably would have said, okay, I'll do it.
Real weird Foles contract. Or it's interesting where it's
real
a
weird.
$20 million option. And if they go, we're going to give you $20 million, you'll come back as our QB. Because that's the line for him to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
If they gave him that and he decided he didn't want to be there, he had to pay them $2 million
mm-hmm.
to get out of there.
Yep.
So he'd still take $18 million with him? Is that how I'm reading this?
No. So
he wouldn't get any of it.
So
he'd still have to pay $2
million
of his own
money. He'd have to pay them back $2 million. But if you're Nick Foles, that's a great investment in your own abilities because you're going to say, here's $2 million. I'm going to go out and sign a 4 or 5 year deal with about 50, 60 million guaranteed.
True. Yeah. And he will make more than that if he does it that way.
There's no way Nick Foles picks up that option.
I feel like the Eagles aren't even going to put him in that situation.
I don't think the Eagles will.
Yeah.
I think now that they've said, hey, this is Wentz's team, they're going to say, let's just move on. We love you. You did a great job.
So you don't have to pay us anything. We don't have to pay you anything.
Yeah. You don't have to pay us. We're still going to get that compensation.
They're still trying to get him some money for his incentives, which is was $1 million nearing $2 million as it is. So they're gonna find a way to give some Foles some stuff, and he's gonna be golden boy in Philly, even if he's not playing in Philly next year.
Nick Foles never buys another drink in Philadelphia for as long as he lives.
Right,
he's
right.
fine. He'll
That's
be okay. As long as he doesn't join the fucking Redskins.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't join the Redskins or the Giants. And there's a chance he might join the Giants.
Okay, yeah. And then he comes in there and he starts beating up on the Eagles. Maybe they change their mind.
Yeah, maybe you start paying for drinks again.
So I don't know if the Rams are happy that this Eagles team that rolled in there late in the season and beat up on them are not there, because now they got to go on the road into New Orleans. And this is the NFC matchup for the rights to go to Super Bowl 53. It is Rams at Saints. It kicks off at 2:05 Central Standard Time.
I'll be watching.
You'll be watching.
Great old time.
What do you think?
I think it's the Saints game to have. I know how talented this Rams team is.
Yeah.
But when you tell me who you got, Jared Goff or Drew Brees, if the game is on the line, give me that Drew Brees every single time.
This is a good time. Today, Drew Brees turned 40 years old. It is Drew Brees' birthday today.
Happy birthday, Drew.
Happy birthday, Drew Brees. And I think I'm with you on this, too. And I said it from week 12, if the Saints get home field advantage in that dome, look out. And they got it, and this is the game for which you got it. Not the Eagles this last week. You got it so that the Rams and Gurley and Goff can't get going.
So they have to come to you.
And you know, I mean, it's like, well, but the Rams don't have a fan base anyways. Like, that's fine. Some Rams fans are showing up. It's been the 70s. They're still alive down there for the LA Rams fans. Not nearly as much, but New Orleans and those fans in that dome, they know when to get loud. They know when to be quiet for Drew. It's an amazing sight to see in that dome. And they know playoffs.
And they know Drew doesn't have too much time left.
That's true,
too. So they're all on board. This is a good young team that's ready to go.
These New Orleans Saints have not allowed a 100-yard rusher. This is coming from the Rams, who just had 2 in the last game, in 25 games.
I think it continues. I think it's 26 straight games. I think they hold Gurley.
Even without Sheldon Rankins.
Even without Sheldon Rankins.
That's a big miss there in the middle of that line.
It's a big miss in the middle, but once again, Sheldon Rankins is a 3 technique. They're going to get less pressure on Goff, but I think that's going to move them more towards a big defensive line, which may actually wind up hurting Todd Gurley's rushing.
Let's talk about their matchups. This team's only met once in the playoffs. It was in year 2000. That was when the Saints won their first playoff game. Resulted in a muffed punt by the Rams that the Saints recovered at the end of the game to win it.
Wow.
I remember watching that game going like, good for the Saints. I'd hate to think of never winning a playoff game for so long.
God.
And now they've had some success and now I hate them. I'm on the opposite side. You're like, I really hope the Saints go. I really hope the Rams do.
Really, the Saints are fine. I mean, you beat them last year.
True.
Minnesota Miracle.
The Miracle.
I mean,
but there is some heated rival between the Saints and the Vikings. It goes all back to 2009. It goes all the way back to Greg Williams taking out Favre's ankle.
It's Greg Williams. That has nothing to do with
it. And that overtime that changed the overtime rule forever.
True.
Was that game. Anybody want to watch the 2009 NFC Championship game and talk about how bad sadly the Vikings got fucked out of a win, I'd be happy to talk about it
it's
with
just you.
Just
you, buddy.
Just me. And then these two teams met this season. And this is much more important because these are the teams and the players that matched up. November 4th, Saints won it 35-45. Mm-hmm. God, we got another one of those. I'm excited to sit down and watch it.
Barn burner.
Are you kidding me? It was 17-35, all Saints. Then the Rams rushed it right back. It was tied at 35 in the fourth quarter. Kamara had three touchdowns in that game, and the Saints won it.
Kamara is no less explosive than he was then.
True.
And Mark Ingram is as explosive. Michael Thomas is at the top of his game. This Saints team is hitting on all cylinders. The Rams defense is looking really, really good. But I don't trust that Rams offense. I do not trust Goff in a pressure situation.
You're right. It's a championship game. Breeze has won it before. Here's a crazy stat question for you, Dan. Who was the last opposing QB that Breeze lost a championship game to?
Last opposing QB he lost a championship game to? Rex Grossman?
Rex Grossman. Oh, he pulled it out. God. Nice catch there, Dan.
God, that was a terrible game, too.
Yes, it was. But sexy Rex Grossman.
Sexy Rexy.
He beat him, and Breeze ain't going to let that happen again. No, Jared Goff. So, yeah, we're both taking
sexy
the Saints,
Jared.
It seems, here.
I think so.
I do, too. I'm going to root for the Rams because it's been longer since they've been there. Nah. It's been since the...
But it's Jared Goff.
Greatest win on turf.
No.
Yeah. But they're the underdogs. I like cheering for the underdogs.
Fine.
That's where I'm at with this one.
Fine.
Go Rams, but I believe the Saints will win. Yeah.
I hope so.
All right, let's talk about the AFC side. This is the AFC games, and we'll begin with...
Do we have to?
Yeah, right. It's at the end of the show, so guys, if you know and listen to the AFC, thank you so much for joining us. It's been the Push Out Podcast. Yeah, stick around.
The better team won.
Yep.
Big time.
Easily. Let's start with the Chiefs beating the Colts 31-13. Dan, you took it. I went on the limb there and took the Colts, just thinking one of these teams are going to upset this week. It did not happen.
Nope.
Luck just didn't have the game. One touchdown.
They were getting an absurd amount of pressure on him.
And you have Vinatieri missing easy field goals, an extra point that wasn't like him.
It was weird.
Weird things were happening there. And then the weird stuff that usually happens to these Chiefs in big playoff home games didn't happen.
Nope.
They're over it, maybe. Maybe. Let's hope.
This is a very different team. Strangely, there was a weird stat. Patrick Mahomes threw for zero touchdowns.
Yeah, he ran one in.
Ran one in. He got one,
also,
but he threw for zero.
Weird stats. Damian Williams had 154 total yards from scrimmage.
This is what
we're
asking.
Third string running back, yeah.
Where is your running game? All of a sudden, Damian Williams is that guy.
That's right, and it worked. And it worked against the Colts defense that's very good.
They were.
Against the run, so that's surprising. Travis Kelce had a game. They started figuring it out. It was like, if you're going to play us man-to-man, you're not going to keep up with Tyreek Hill. If you're going to play us in zone, Travis Kelce's going to find a spot and sit down. And they played mostly zone, and that's what Travis Kelce did.
Kelce is a zone killer. Tyreek Hill can kill any defensive formation that you put up there, but Travis Kelce is especially dangerous against zone teams because he just sits. He understands, and he reads it the way a quarterback does.
Yeah.
He's so smart when he finds those areas, and then he's got the athleticism to turn that into another 4 or 5 yards right after he catches the ball. Witten was the best reader of zones that ever existed in the history of football.
Oh.
He was the slowest motherfucker in the world.
But it doesn't matter if you know where the demon's going to be.
He read a mean tweet, slow as hell, LOL, but it works. And he was like, that's true. Because that's what he would do. He would find the spot in the zone. He would be there a quarter of a second before the defender knew that he was there, and Romo would find him.
And he had some hands that you could count on.
Had
so.
Success. Travis Kelce is all of that awareness, all of that Jason Witten-level zone awareness, matched with a Rob Gronkowski-level athleticism.
Yeah, he's a great
That's
guy.
That's devastating.
Best tight end in the lead right now, that Gronkowski's kind of age is catching up with him.
Age and injury. He's
this
been roughed up.
Game was 17-0 Chiefs, and then the Colts get that blocked punt, and they receive it in the end zone, and all of a sudden it's 17-7, and you thought, hey,
nope.
Is this the excitement that was going to happen?
So
but
exciting.
Instead, no, they can't keep up with them, and the Chiefs just answered back immediately.
The Kansas City Chiefs didn't have a lot to worry about because the Indianapolis Colts scored a touchdown before they had a first down.
Yeah.
The offense had not had a first down. That's the points that they scored were purely on defense, a really bad special teams mistake by the Kansas City Chiefs. They just let him waltz right in front of that ball and knock it out. But the game was over already. 17-7. You felt like the Chiefs never really relinquished control of this thing.
the Colts kept making mistakes too. A lot of penalties, jumping off sides and trying to get a jump on the snap. It just wasn't working for the Colts and the Chiefs.
The noise in Arrowhead is disorienting.
That's true too. Yeah, that was getting to them. So Chiefs didn't make those mistakes. They didn't make those mistakes that I was assuming they were going to make when I picked against them. So that's exciting. That's exciting to see. Chiefs are my horse now. From this point on, I want them to win the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great.
Andy Reid scolding fans for throwing snowballs.
It's dangerous.
Then an old man, get off my lawn.
Because you know what? None of those people in the stands are Patrick Mahomes. Because if they're throwing snowballs, holy shit, that thing's coming out like a missile.
There was one Colts guy punting in the ball, a snowball like right by his foot. So they were getting those onto the field. And
yeah,
that's something you got to watch out for. They'll start calling penalties against your team at home for that shit that you're pulling in the stands. So watch it, fans.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea, but... And it's going to be as bad. There's going to be a polar vortex this weekend.
That's right.
So, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit once we're done with the Patriots game, but that's an intriguing proposition.
Dan, I'm going to ask you another question. What was the last Kansas City QB to win a home playoff game?
Home playoff game.
Kansas City QB, since Mahomes just did it.
I'm going to say Todd Blackledge?
That was close. No, it was Joe Montana.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Joe Montana beat him. All right. Yeah, let's talk about it. Chargers 28, Patriots 41. The score was nowhere near as close.
No.
Or the score is closer than this game ever was.
This was a 35-7 game. And I'll give it to the Patriots, who have always been a relentlessly nasty group of motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady was pissed off at the half when he didn't get a chance to kick a field goal to make it 38-7.
That's right. It was 35-7 at that point, and he was upset.
It was 35. Get the fuck out of my face, you insane hyper-competitive lunatic.
They played it perfectly, though, and they were in field goal range.
They did.
I'd be a little perturbed, too.
He was clearly mad.
Yeah.
Clearly mad. These Chargers wound up putting together some garbage time points, but the Patriots were just trying different shit in the second half.
At halftime, Patriots had the same amount of touchdowns as Chargers had first downs, and that was 5.
It was so bad. This was a really bad game for the Chargers.
The Patriots were not punting. They were just scoring touchdowns, just scoring touchdowns. As soon as they decided they had to punt, the Chargers muffed the punt, and the Patriots get it back. That was immediately. They got it back immediately, and you're like, I don't believe this is happening. So the first half was such a collapse that the second half was, well, we're just going to not play to lose now, and the Chargers can come back all they want. They're not going to do it.
You're
and
not going to be able to get 5 scores. You're not going to come back 5 scores.
No.
You're just not going to do it. You don't have the ability to do this.
So the Chargers sat there and they played zone D against Tom Brady all day long.
And he tore him apart.
He tore him apart. And that's the one thing you say. You don't go into New England and play zone D against Brady.
You have to pressure Brady. In fairness to the Chargers, they thought they'd get better pressure from Ingram and Bosa, and those two were shut the fuck down.
Yeah, not
when
even
when you shut
seen
down that
from.
Pass rush, it doesn't matter what defense you're running. Tom Brady's going to find some spots. So a lot of praise to the Patriots offensive line.
I think a lot, yeah, and a lot of it was the run game was working for them, and the run game comes and goes with New England, but today it was going. Michael, 129 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. I said Michael, Michelle, because you write it down and that's how you see it. Sony Michelle had 3 touchdowns in this one. Rivers threw for 331 yards,
didn't
had
matter.
3 touchdowns. Well, yeah, because Brady threw for 343, and he only had to throw 1 touchdown. There's just so many points on that side.
And Rivers was done with this game at the half, too. I mean, at the end of it, he was just kind of going, well, I got to get out of here with some stats. Let's see what I can do. But Phillip Rivers was done with this game. He knew it was over at halftime. Everybody in the Chargers team knew it was over at halftime.
Yeah.
And it was kind of sad that they had to finish the game.
Hunter Henry came back. The team was healthy. I mean, it didn't look like the knee injury was holding down Gordon too much.
No.
But they just weren't putting stuff together. Right. There was no pass rush on Brady. Their offense was doing whatever they wanted, and the Chargers' offense couldn't keep up with that.
What this tells you is win more games, Chargers. Win more games.
Get that home.
You're going to face these fucking Patriots in the second round of the playoffs.
All I got for you is more stats that make how dominant these Patriots have been. Brady has more playoff games than any other QB, or more playoff wins than any other QB has played in.
Wow.
Tom Brady has more wins than any other QB has played in. And now the 2010 to 2019, this decade of teams, the Patriots have the most wins ever by a team in a decade, beating out the Patriots from 2000 to 2009. And we got a season left to play.
Yeah. This is fucking pathetic. Tom Brady has more playoff wins than Patrick Mahomes has years on the planet Earth.
Yeah, it's 28. 28 playoff wins for Tom Brady. I mean, that's... This is the Patriots. This is Belichick. This is Brady. How do you bet against him in January?
I will. I'm excited for
you
these
did
Chiefs.
Last week. I didn't.
I'll do it again. Yeah. I'll do it again. I'm all Chiefs this week.
And that's where we're at to discuss right now. Patriots at Chiefs. This game kicks off at 5:40 Central Standard.
I'm very excited to see what Patrick Mahomes is going to do.
Mm.
Because the most exciting matchup for the Super Bowl is Saints-Chiefs. I think we can agree. Saints-Chiefs is the most exciting because it's the hot young boy.
Against the old champion.
Against the old champion.
And it's the number one, number two MVP race. Yeah. I get all that. But, I mean, we saw...
It's both number one seeds.
We saw Chiefs and Rams, and that was the best Monday night game I maybe have ever seen. So
it was great.
I'm not going to say that...
Well, why do a redux? You can't. You can never match. It's a sequel.
That's the only way you're going to make that argument because that stuff happens again. If it's the redux again, then I'm going to have a blast on a 50-50 game again. But... Yeah, is that really going to happen in the Super Bowl? Who knows?
The Patriots going to the Super Bowl ruins the Super Bowl.
I would agree.
Because no matter who they play, you're like, ugh, just not the fucking Patriots. This will be a fun game to watch no matter who wins if it's Chiefs-Saints.
Yeah.
No matter what. In fairness, if it's Chiefs-Rams, it'll probably be pretty fun,
that's
too.
All I'm saying
I don't
is
like
that
Jared Goff, but I understand what
people
are
as long as the Patriots aren't in there. That's what we're saying.
All you have to do.
Yeah.
If the NFL has got to hire a sniper... To make sure that Tom Brady... Just beanbags.
You make a point. If the league was fixed and they wanted to make sure that it was all the best ratings and the best scenarios they had, they wouldn't want the Patriots in here again.
No,
there's no way they would. It would have to take a big hit to ratings if it's Patriots versus anybody in that NFC instead of Chiefs. And even though there's probably plenty of fan base in Boston, there's a bigger, wider fan base for anybody but Boston.
Yeah.
Out there, and that's what we're looking at, yeah.
If the Cowboys went to the Super Bowl, it's a ratings boost. When the Cowboys go to the Super Bowl three or four times in a year, you're like, please not again.
That's what
anybody that
90s,
wins
yeah.
consistently, you just kind of want it to stop.
Yeah.
You want to see parity. That's what we desire.
And this is the eighth year in a row that the Patriots will be in the AFC Championship game. This is the first ever AFC Championship game hosted by Kansas City.
Because they've never won a playoff game
home, no, to get in, yeah. No. But they're here now. This is going to be a super cold forecasted game. You brought it up, a wind chill coming in there. It's going to be anywhere from 10 degrees to negative 15 or something like that. The coldest game, playoff game ever, I think was that Minnesota one when they played outdoors against Seattle, and we got to like a 7 degree as the coldest.
No, it was the Ice Bowl.
Oh, the Ice Bowl still beat that out? Maybe it was, okay, Ice Bowl.
That's probably the coldest modern era game.
Okay, something like that,
because the Ice Bowl, I think like 4 people died.
Well, that was back, there was no heated coil field, yeah.
People just died.
Frozen just grass.
Literal frozen tundra.
We saw the Chiefs had a... quote-unquote snow game against the Colts. The snow stopped by then, and they got it all off the field. But this one doesn't seem like they're going to get snow. They're just going to get freezing cold temperatures, and the game will be played under a total lunar eclipse.
God, if there's any other... I think this
Which
is
I think is a big red moon, right? Chiefs fans, come on.
Even the planet Earth, even the solar system is rooting Chiefs.
Yeah, they turned on the lights for the Chiefs like a big skyscraper does in your home city.
But if anything, I think that's just going to make Tom Brady mad.
Oh, yeah. And you don't want to make Tom Brady mad.
No, you really don't. He's like, all right, gods, we've tangled before. We shall tangle again.
Patrick Mahomes' mom is the same age as Tom Brady.
Jesus.
So she goes like, you know, if you're able to play against people 20 years your younger and still be successful, I think you got to be doing whatever that guy's doing. Yeah. I think that's what everybody's got to be looking at.
He's like, I only eat red bell peppers.
Just sit
Great.
There and get your legs massaged and kiss your son on the lips. And that's
you know
what?
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. If somebody said, hey, you've got to kiss your kid on the lips, you get to win a bunch of Super Bowls, I'd be like, you know what? Keep them. I'm going to kiss my kid on the cheek like a non-fucking weirdo.
This game also had a matchup this year. It was on October 14th when the Patriots won. This was in New England on that matchup. 40-43. Another great game this year. Yeah. Patriots led that game at the half 9-24.
Screaming back.
Both teams just kept scoring. That was great. And then I love this. Bill Belichick was asked if they could coach somebody against Hill's speed. And in Bill Belichick ways, he's like what? Like make somebody faster? Get out of my, get out of here.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of my interview.
Bill Belichick can only answer a question with a question and make you feel like an idiot.
He's good, though. God, yeah. He's good.
Yeah.
He's so good.
And can Tyreek Hill, can Patrick Mahomes and all his magic, can they beat these Patriots? What are you going to say, Dan?
Tyreek Hill, I need you to imagine that these New England Patriots are your pregnant girlfriend.
Oh, boy.
And I need you to go to town. I need you to kick them down some stairs. Never forget Tyreek Hill. But seriously, I'll be rooting for Tyreek Hill this weekend to do all the things he's got to do. I'm rooting for Travis Kelce. I'm rooting for Pat Mahomes.
Here you go.
I'm rooting for the offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm rooting for Eric Fisher, a number one overall pick who has never had any respect. I'm rooting for Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, a noble opponent.
He's only been to the Super Bowl once.
He is a noble enemy.
And lost to those Patriots and Belichick.
He's a noble enemy. I love the way he coaches the game of football with complete disregard for clock management. I respect the hell out of it. I see where you're coming from, Andy. I also sometimes don't watch the clock. It's not my job, but okay. I am rooting for these Kansas City Chiefs. I'm rooting for this fan base, this long-suffering fan base that has been laughed at and ridiculed and has had to deal with Rich Gannon. Alex Smith is the quarterback.
Just toss-offs from San Francisco, yeah.
Just cast-offs.
Elvis Gerback.
Just the worst fucking people in the world. You finally have excitement. You have a guy you drafted.
Yeah.
You have a very, very good team, a defense that's suddenly putting it together.
Mm.
Go, Kansas City. Right. Beat these fucking Patriots.
Chiefs Kingdom. Chiefs Kingdom.
Chiefs
You're at
Kingdom.
Home.
Let's go.
Yeah. I agree with you. So you're taking the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm very worried, but I'm taking the Chiefs.
Dude, I'm with you, man. Kansas City. You're my horse. You're my horse from this point on. I remember back
Eric
in the,
Berry don't want no horse, though.
You don't fuck with horses. But I remember watching these guys with Schottenheimer's years when they were the team to beat in the AFC all through the season. And
everyone
then,
went, okay.
Yeah, and then they did, yeah. And they get choked on, you know, out by Denver or Pittsburgh immediately.
Especially
and
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis,
routinely
too.
Destroyed them.
Just so many times. And as a if you're a fan and you've been a fan of the Chiefs since back then, yeah, you paid your dues.
Oh, you're right. You deserve this.
Yeah, if you're born after their first Super Bowl wins back in the 70s, 60s even, whenever that was, I think time's come around now for you. So that's why I want the Chiefs to go too. I will not bet against Brady and Belichick in January. It's not in my blood, not until one of those guys goes. So I have the Patriots winning this game, but
ooh,
I'm going to hope I'm wrong. You know,
I think we all hope you're wrong on this one, Scott.
In fact, in both of these, I'm picking the teams that I don't think, that I don't want to be in there. That's usually how it goes for Scott Hogan and what he likes.
I pick with my heart. I believe.
If I pick with my heart, it'll just be broken. So
if
I'm going to pick with my head because there's a good chance it's going to be Saints versus Patriots. I want it to be Chiefs versus Rams. That's what I want. Saints versus Patriots.
If the Super Bowl is Patriots-Rams, I might not watch it.
Ooh.
Because fuck both of these guys. Because I can't be happy by the outcome of the game.
You're co-host of the Push Up Podcast. If I have to sit you down and tape your eyelids up, you're watching the Super Bowl.
I will be clockwork oranged for the Super Bowl.
That's right.
If it's fucking Patriots-Rams. Ugh.
All right, Dan. Well, those are the games. We've covered the championship round. There's something special you want to do next week. Do you want to tell the listeners?
I do. So next week, after the championship games are done, after the Super Bowl matchups is decided, we are going to have a guide for you.
Mm.
Not for you loyal football fans.
Push
not
off
for
fans.
You loyal push-off fans who know the game of football in and out, who argue with us every week. Not for you. This is not for you. Because you know what's going on. You've been listening to the push-off all year.
Oh, you're a genius. You're a great football mind.
This is for your significant other.
Mm.
This is for people at your office that annoy the shit out of you because they don't understand what the fuck they're talking about. Next week, we have the non-football fans guide to the Super Bowl.
So there you go. All those guys that are like, I can't listen to the push-off. I don't really understand what's going on. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
There won't be any more excuse. You got to listen.
This is the entry point that you have to the NFL universe, to the football universe. We are going to run through it. I have been coaching and teaching for most of my adult life.
That's right.
And I have been a football fan since I was a wee little baby boy. I'm going to combine those two loves. Scott and I are going to walk you through how to be a non-asshole football fan at a Super Bowl, even
just
if you don't know anything.
Just in time for Super Bowl 53.
That's what we're here for.
That's what we got for you. All right, so stay tuned. That'll be next week. Put that at the end of the show so you guys can put it on and go, all right, honey, listen, this is how we'll get you ready. Let Dan and Scott tell you how to watch football.
It's ready to go.
All right.
And you know what? You might be a lady listening to this. This is not a sexist thing.
No, no, no.
Not a sexist thing. We're not going to talk about it. Hey, ladies, there's a lot of dudes that don't know shit about football. In fact, dudes are more annoying about it.
That's
true. Dudes are way more annoying about it because they go like, sports ball. Fuck you. Fuck you. Get out of my house. Don't watch this fucking game. Except now you can shut the fuck up and you don't have to say sports ball. You can say, oh, how about that Patrick Mahomes? Wow.
Don't you want the game to be just as fun as watching the commercials?
Oh.
And that's what we're going to do
ideal.
For you. Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
3.5 hours on that Sunday when you never have to look away.
It's great.
It's all there. All right, Dan. I didn't have a crazy stat to end the show with last week. Felt bad about it. I got one more for you here this one before we leave. Longest active streaks of games without allowing 30-plus points. I believe it's 30-plus points at home. I got three teams here. We'll go from the third to the first, or just name out some teams that you think have gone the longest without allowing 30 or more points at home.
Patriots?
They are not on this list.
Mm. Cowboys?
They are on this list. They're third place with 12 games.
We've had a good defense for a while.
It's the longest streaks of allowing it without, up to now. So the Patriots have gone 12 games. That's what I mean. Okay. And it's, I don't think it is just at home. Sorry. I'm taking out that home thing. Straight up games. The Cowboys have gone 12. There's two teams ahead of them.
I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens?
Nope.
Chargers? Nope. Mm-hmm. God, I don't know.
There's another, they're both AFC teams.
Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yep, Jaguars are second place at 16. First place, Kansas City Chiefs, 34 games.
Good for them.
34 games.
That's impressive.
So that'll do it. That is another episode of the Push Off Podcast. That was the divisional round. Look, no Minneapolis miracles. I'm just as disappointed as you listeners
are. We wanted miracles.
We wanted some miracles. We wanted some exciting endings. The AFC games kind of took a poo-poo on us.
I really did.
But we got to see it. It's Chiefs and Patriots, and now who's gonna take the bigger poo-poo on the other team? And that's what we're going to find out.
Who will poo-poo? That's the question all football fans want to know. Who poo-poo?
Who poo-poo? But you'll find out if you don't watch the games right here next week at the Push Up Podcast. So thank you guys so much again for joining us. We are part of the Universe Head family, where there's so many great shows to check out at universehead.com. You can check us out and all of our previous shows at thepushoff.com or anywhere you got this podcast. Please link, rate, and subscribe. This time of year is where we like it the most. This is one of our Christmases, the Super Bowl, as we are lining up for that now. The off season, we're not going to end. We're going to give you some
keep going.
We're going to give you some tapes. We're watching the rookies that are heading through the combine
ready
coming
for the
up
draft.
Soon, getting ready for that draft, and then maybe a look at the league like we like to do.
Guys, we don't take time off till July.
There it is. So keep it right here with the Push Off. Thank you guys so much for being listeners. I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
We'll see you after we know who'll be playing in Super Bowl 53.
Get excited. Goodbye.